So this is the sort of question that confronts us, that confronts nowadays, in many parts of the West, any person who suffers from his psychic state. It's also a question which may confront, at least at times, even the person devoted to the higher evolution who's been making some progress. And with this question, we come to the third and the last of our topics for this evening. In other words, we come to this question of the nature of the relation between meditation and psychotherapy. Come also, even, to the nature of the antagonism between them. Now, let me say at once, just to reassure the weaker brethren, as it were, those who don't like conflict and antagonism, let me just say at once that this antagonism is only partial. That it arises, in any case, much less out of the intrinsic natures of meditation and psychotherapy than out of their respective contexts. Meditation and psychotherapy have, in fact, a great deal in common. Meditation, in the narrower sense of the term, is including simply integration of the psychic energies and intensification and expansion of selfhood. Meditation, in this narrower sense, can even be included in psychotherapy. We saw that, according to Jaspers, psychotherapy has at its disposal various means of influencing the psyche. And these means he classifies into five groups. The third group is that of methods involving practice and training. And here Jaspers specifically, by name, includes breathing exercises. And one might say that other methods of concentrating the mind could equally well be included. Again, referring back to Jaspers once more, psychotherapy has application to all people who feel ill and suffer from their psychic state. And Buddhism traditionally begins with the fact of suffering. Not because it's pessimistic, but because it's concerned with experience, with actual life, with real problems. Suffering is, in fact, the first of the Four Noble Truths, which are the sort of general framework of Buddhist teaching. First truth, that suffering exists. Second truth, that the cause of suffering is craving. Third truth, which is that of the cessation of suffering, which involves the cessation of craving. And fourth truth, the way leading to the cessation of suffering through the cessation of craving by following what is called the Noble Eightfold Path. It's also significant in this connection that the formula itself of the Four Noble Truths is said by many scholars to be based on an ancient Indian medical formula, a formula of disease, its cause, health, and the way to the cessation of disease and restoration of health. Suffering in Buddhism is also the first of what we call the 12 positive nidanas. That is to say, it is the first stage. The experience of suffering is the first stage of the spiral path leading ultimately to enlightenment. Buddhism says, in effect, that the higher life, the higher evolution of man, starts with the experience of suffering, or, if you like, with the realization of suffering. In the therapeutic situation, there is, on the one hand, the therapist, on the other, the patient. And especially in psychoanalysis, that the analyst and the analysand. In much the same way, in the case of meditation, there's the master and there's the disciple. And in both kinds of case, the relationship is not just formal, not just a matter of giving teaching or advice. It's not just formal, but we may say existential, not static, but dynamic. But we'll be going into this in the course of our last lecture in the series. Moreover, people practicing meditation, that is to say, practicing meditation in the narrower sense, and those undergoing therapy, undergoing analysis, often experience the same curative symptoms. They may, for instance, experience intense anxiety, may experience anger, fear, sexual desire, may experience sweating, nausea, palpitation, and so on. So the fact that there are these common symptoms, at least sometimes, would seem to indicate that a similar kind of process is going on in the case of meditation in this narrower sense and in the case of psychotherapy or psychoanalysis.